Hello and welcome back to Britpop History, the podcast where we are reliving the Britpop years in real time, exactly 30 years on. Welcome to June of 1992. In the news, Michael Jordan wins his second NBA championship and his second Finals MVP as his Chicago Bulls beat the Portland Trail Blazers in six games. US Vice President Dan Quayle incorrectly spells the word potato with an E. And in Hollywood, Batman Returns opens, featuring Danny DeVito as Penguin, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, and Michael Keaton returning as the Caped Crusader.
From the rooftops of Gotham, the perfect enemy comes to life. And the only one who can save this city is a creature of the night.
On the UK music scene, perennial indie also-rans Pulp are having another try at success with another new single, Oh You Gone Gone. Having formed in Sheffield in 1978, they'd released two albums up until this point, It in 1983 and Freaks in 1987, neither gaining mainstream success despite some critical acclaim, including from Radio 1's great champion of the outsider, John Peel. In mid-1989, they began recording a new album, Separations. The release was delayed significantly, to the point that by 1991, they ended up leaving their label Fire to sign with Gift Records and release a new single, Oh You Gone Gone, in June of 1992. With Separations, Pulp had split the sound between the first half, which focused more on Jarvis's obsessions with the French chanson stylings of Serge Gainsbourg, Jacques Brel and Scott Walker, with the second half going into a more experimental acid house sound. Oh You Gone Gone manages to combine these two styles with a classic chanson-style song of a woman leaving after a breakup, with the verse ramping up with a Brel-esque ascending melody as the plot thickens, while Nick Banks' house beat drives everything along at 100 miles an hour, with Candida Doyle's synths giving everything that kitsch, geek chic feel that would later endear Pulp to the nation.
All the night was ending, he needed her undressed, he said he loved her, she tried to look impressed after the breakup, it's just something you do to stop the night time from falling down on you. The world is ending, the sky is falling down, she's at the station, because she's leaving town, or you can stop her, if you get out of bed, she wants to see you, at least that's what she said, you got a minute, at the very most, and she could go, 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 yeah, she's gone.
Chorus hits, it's catchy as hell. Jarvis repeating, oh yeah, she's going away, plus laying in some fantastic vocalizations that he would later revisit throughout his career. Single unfortunately and unsurprisingly failed to chart, but Pulp had laid down a marker, and as Gift then teamed with Island, their next run of singles and the following album His and Hers would push them into the mainstream, and we all know what happened next. Meanwhile, in the charts, the band at number one throughout June 1992 featured Andy Bell. Unfortunately, it wasn't Andy Bell from Ride, but Andy Bell from Erasure, with their ABBA-esque EP, which featured covers of four ABBA songs. The ABBA Gold compilation would be released later that year and go on to be one of the biggest selling albums of all time. Some 80s bands were still riding high, with The Cure's Friday I'm In Love peaking at number 6. At the other end of the charts, The Pogues, without Shane McGowan, reached 56, with a cover of The Rolling Stones' Honky Tonk Women. Meanwhile, U2 were experimenting with the modern dance sound with their single Even Better Than The Real Thing, The original mix was released in June, reaching number 12, but then a month later the Perfecto mix came out and did a little better, making number 8. Manic Street Preachers released their 5th single from their debut album Generation Terrorists. Now, typically, by the time you get to a 5th single, you're scraping the barrel. Yet the Manics, with Motorcycle Emptiness, had released an iconic record of skyscraping ambition, showing there was far more to them than just iconoclastic sloganeering. The remarkable lyrics attack the futility of consumerist society, which James Dean Bradfield perfectly delivers through both his magnificent vocal and majestic guitar work.
Culture sucks downwards. Atomized love and feed itself smiles. Organize yourself, travel.
Having had a hit with The Life of Riley in May, the Lightning Seeds were back with another pop classic, Sense, featuring a searing harmonica solo by Mark Feltham, who would later go on to play on a number of Oasis records. A number of other early 90s bands that never really broke through to the Britpop years also made the charts, with Carter USM having a hit with Do Re Mi So Far So Good, and The Farm doing the same with Rising Sun. The success of grunge music, and particularly Nirvana, was demonstrated by the fact that Weird Al Yankovic achieved his biggest chart success for years with his parody of Smells Like Teen Spirit, Smells Like Nirvana. And finally, in Wigan, The Verve, or as they were known at the time, Verve, released their second single and their first to make the chart, She's a Superstar. The CD version came in at a whopping 8 minutes 56 seconds. The vinyl was a more palatable but still not particularly radio-friendly 5 minutes. The song is very much in the psychedelic shoegaze style that was very big in 1992, giving plenty of space for Nick McCabe's guitar work to breathe, before later on Richard Ashcroft's singer-songwriter stylings would take precedence in the band. Anyway, thank you for listening to episode 3 of Britpop History. Join us next time to look back at July 1992, where Oxford teenagers The Jennifers released their first and only single, Just Got Back Today. I wonder what happens to them. See you next time.